Friends to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. Bill Jack, also in studio with me.
In the bunker.
In the bunker.
Yes.
Way down here.
Yeah.
We're hidden away in a pursuit, which is helpful.
Yeah, hungry.
Adds to the whole ambiance.
And I'm wearing my tinfoil hat, so
yes,
they can't read my mind.
They can't, yeah.
That's right.
It helps.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about worldview issues today because Bill Jack's in studio, and Bill Jack has been with us for a couple of weeks now, but he's been doing Worldview for like 80 years.
Yeah.
They call you Mr. Worldview now, don't they?
It's actually a previous life, and I've been recycled, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. A different Worldview.
Yeah, it is. Way different. Bill Jack is a director of Worldview Academy or something. What do they call
you? Yeah, they call me faculty advisor.
Faculty advisor for Worldview Academy.
Whatever that means, I don't know, but it's
sounds
a title.
Important.
It's a title.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if you've got young people who need a little tweak on the worldview, go to Worldview Academy.
Worldview.org.
Worldview.org. All right, today we're going to talk about the family. We like the family. Family fits into a biblical social view, doesn't fit into the other worldview very well, but it does fit into a biblical worldview. The family is a great concept, but it's kind of going away, and it has for a while.
Well, we just redefined it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
What do you mean by family?
Yeah. We just redefine it every other decade or so. We get a new definition of family. But we still believe here that God knew what he's talking about when he put a man and a woman together and said, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And here's James Dobson. Let's start with James Dobson. James Dobson's Mr. Family. If you're Mr. Worldview.
He's Mr.
James
Family.
Dobson's Mr. Family, yeah. Has been.
Wow, I'm in good company
since
the
1970s.
There. Wow.
Well, as it turns
what's his
Dobson,
focus, though?
Dobson. His focus is the family.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I missed something in the past.
Yeah. You've been driving by focus on the family for the last 28 years of your life, Bill.
Yeah.
Focus is the family.
Yeah.
Okay, but he is up to here with it.
He's had it.
Here are the headlines. Dr. Dobson lashes out at Obama. Dobson tears into Obama, come and get me.
Come and get me.
That's pretty intense.
He's kind of throwing down, isn't he?
You know what? He's got a few years on him.
Yeah?
I think he's at this point.
You think he can take Obama?
Yeah. I've got this little line I use. It's called a little line I like to use. I want to use it on my headstone if I can. When I die, life is too short to be vague. I don't want to be just about ready to die, and I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what I really wanted to say was,
yeah. What do you mean by that? Yeah,
I don't want that to happen. Bill.
You don't want to choke.
No. And so I think what's happening is life is too short to be vague for James Dobson. So he's coming out and he's saying what he really wanted to say. And this is WorldNet Daily picked it up. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, Family Talk Radio, a harsh critic of President Obama and an opponent in court, on Thursday described him as the abortion president during an address at the National Day of Prayer. Dobson, whose organization recently won a court fight against Obama over a mandate in Obamacare that would have required his ministry to pay for abortion pills, has not been shy about challenging the president on his abortion agenda. At one point during the fight over the imposition of the abortion mandate, he said, "The president, come and get me. I will not yield to your wicked regulations."
Wicked?
Wicked regulations. And as it turns out, in 2013, when Obama did his keynote address to the gala by Planned Parenthood, the largest player in the nation's abortion industry, Cecile Richards, chief of the organization, agreed with James Dobson.
She did.
She agreed with James Dobson. Here's what she said. "President Obama has done more than any president in history for women's health and rights. He understands that access to birth control and preventive health care are economic issues for women and their families. We fought alongside him to ensure that women's health access was expanded in the landmark Affordable Care Act, and now we have to fight hard to ensure that the full promise of health care reform is realized for millions of women." So Dobson and Cecile Richards, who heads up Planned Parenthood, they both agree on one thing, and that is that President Obama is the abortion president.
Except she would say that he's the women's health care.
That's right. She would word it differently.
I just reread 1984,
and it
was depressing. I got depressed after
you
I reread.
Depressed on. I get. Yeah. I just reading a couple pages of it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's pretty depressing stuff.
It is, but it's
good old Winston.
Yes, because it's double speak. Mm-hmm. It's double think and new speak. And what Cecile Richards did was the new speak.
You know, she doesn't just say killing kids.
That's right.
You don't do that. That's
no, no, you can't.
Doesn't
do
work.
No.
Or slashing and burning the fetus.
No, you can't do that.
Doesn't work. No. Doesn't work good on the brochure.
We have to be a kinder, gentler Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Okay, so Dobson said that the President of the United States has made it so that every American will have to pay toward the support of abortion. He also said in his commentary on the issue, I believe in the rule of law, and it has been my practice since I was in college to respect and honor those in authority over us. It's my desire to do so now. However, this assault on the sanctity of human life takes me where I cannot go. I will not pay the surcharge for abortion services. The amount of the surcharge is irrelevant to me. 1 cent for the killing of babies is egregious to me, and I will do all I can to correct a government that lies to me about its intentions and then tries to coerce my acquiescence with extortion. It would be a violation of my most deeply held convictions to disobey what I consider to be the principles in Scripture. The Creator will not hold us guiltless if we turn a deaf ear to the cries of His innocent babies. So come and get me if you must, Mr. President. I will not bow before your wicked regulations.
Now, the interesting word there is wicked regulations, not just controversial regulations, wicked regulations.
That's right.
And this is, Dobson's put himself in company with the Old Testament prophets.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. He's at the point where he's on Carmel.
Yes.
And he is saying, this is wrong.
Yep.
This is really, really wrong. Choose you this day who you will serve.
That's right. It's not Carmel corn either.
He's on
Mount Carmel, and he's calling them out.
And he's calling down fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think it's past time. It's way past time.
I think so, too.
So, kudos. Kudos.
It's good to see a little fighting chutzpah.
Yep.
You know? I mean, it's just refreshing. There's a lot of wimpiness out there, Bill.
There is. And this encourages me.
Yes,
it
does.
And it should encourage other Christians to stand up and use the word wicked.
Yes.
When it comes to laws that pervert righteousness.
Bill, it's so non-postmodern.
I know.
You're standing up in a university classroom, and you're saying, I believe that cutting and burning a little baby in its mother's womb is wrong. I believe that molesting 2-year-olds is wrong. You know, that's just plain wicked.
Right.
You do that.
It's evil.
You do that, you're in trouble.
Yep.
You're going to be in trouble. If you stand up and you say, in no uncertain terms, I believe that this is wicked. What Hitler did to 6 million Jews is wicked. You're going to be in trouble.
Yep.
You will be in trouble in a postmodern classroom.
Well,
you use the W word.
I've got a good friend, Mark Harrington, who runs a ministry called Created Equal. And what he does is he goes on campuses, takes high school students out on college campuses, sets up displays, and compares the Holocaust with the abortion Holocaust. And he uses pictures of Jews and babies who have been killed. And starts conversations, and he has high school students engage college students in conversations. It is gutsy. It is necessary because we need to raise up a generation who understand what evil is, who look into the face of evil and do not blink in proclaiming truth and grace. Truth and grace.
Yeah, but Christians don't like controversy.
Oh, yep.
That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel like the precious moments dolls you get at your local Christian Bible bookstore.
Kevin,
did you ever
precious
see a
moment.
Precious moments doll with David cutting off the head of Goliath?
Oh,
tell me.
Oh,
have you ever seen it?
Let me. No.
Okay. But you know what? Controversy has not been absent in Christian history. Some of the greatest men, most courageous men, have had amazing, amazing guts and courage. Okay, here's these guys poised to throw rocks at Stephen, the first martyr, Acts 7. You know, now he could say anything. He could have said, God loves y'all and has a wonderful plan for everybody's life.
Right.
He could have said that, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. What did he do? He went to where Peter went. Hey, you guys killed the Messiah. And towards the end, so you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you'd always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? okay, which of the prophets did you forget to murder? You worked it out in your day planner. You got every one of the prophets.
Yep.
You tried to
checklist.
Slaughter every single one of the prophets.
Oh, got
did
one,
you
got
miss
that
anybody? Did you miss anybody?
It's kind of like collecting baseball cards for them, wasn't it? Killing the prophets.
It kind of was.
Yeah.
If you're Stephen, that's pretty heavy-duty sarcasm. That's going for the jugular. All right. Now, these guys had rocks in hand.
They were rolling boulders off cliffs at him.
They were.
Yeah.
But the guy had guts. You know, at some point,
he had. He didn't have guts. He had the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He was empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To speak truth.
Amen.
To a culture that hated him.
Yeah.
And Christians,
they need to call people to repentance on the salient sins of the day. You know, and that, your point is really strong, because I was preaching from Acts 2 on Resurrection Day. And I note, I did Peter's sermon, and Peter's effectively saying this. You know your Messiah, the guy you've been waiting for 2,000 years? You killed him. It's probably the most politically incorrect sermon ever preached in the history of sermons.
Yeah, and what does it say? They were cut to the
quick. They were. Tough sermon. He called them to repentance on that issue.
Yeah.
But why, what had happened? What had changed? In John 20, they were hiding in a room for fear of the Jews. Remember that?
Right.
So they're huddled down, climbing under the pews for fear of the Jews in John 20. In Acts 2, he's in the middle of everybody preaching the most politically incorrect sermon in all history. What happened in between John 20 and Acts 2? What happened?
The empowering of the Holy Spirit.
There you go. Got it. And that man wins the trip to Hawaii. Good job.
Woo!
You're on it today, Bill.
Woo! Hawaii.
That's pretty impressive, though. That's fun.
Hawaii's pretty impressive. I'm going to hold you to it.
All right. So James Dobson coming unglued with the President of the United States, and I'm thankful for that. By the way, here's one more thing you need to know. Focus on the Family's coming out with a movie called Irreplaceable. They got it in 700 theaters. It's starting tonight, is my understanding.
Really?
Yeah.
Haven't heard about it.
There are 700 theaters. That's because nobody likes it. Well, except for the people who still like the Family.
Yeah.
And apparently they're going after this because the Family is under attack. And I guess we've said this a few times on the program. Wow. Who's the Family? Does it matter? For those of us millennials or Gen Xers, we're really not sure. We may know instinctively that marriage matters. We may even believe that marriage is sacred, but our experience of marriage has been anything but. Although we watched our grandparents grow old together, a large percentage of our parents got divorced when we were young. We spent our weekends with dad, our school days with mom. We grew up, we survived the hookup culture of college with just a few lasting scars. Yeah, right. And then watched our friends get married, drift apart, and divorce. The fallout of the Family's decline surrounds us, poverty, crime, addictions, abuse. That's why the movies like Irreplaceable matter, and they're launching this thing today. So,
and what's the theme? What's the?
It's all about the traditional family. We've got to salvage the traditional family. I haven't seen the movie, so I wouldn't know. So it's a documentary about the family, and it's been a little bit of pushback. Not everybody wants this thing in the theaters.
You know what? That's good. That's good that they're talking about it and they're pushing back, because it will draw attention to it.
Yeah, I think
you know
so.
What you know what the mantra of a politician is. You know, it doesn't matter what they're saying as long as they're talking about me.
Yeah, right.
Hey, speaking of the family. You know, the breakdown of the family is a big deal, but Gene Robinson.
Yeah, we're going to hit that in just a moment.
Yeah.
Going to go to Gene Robinson.
Breakdown
of the
family. He's getting divorced.
Wow. Yep. Okay, be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Oh, what are they going to take away next?
Hey, Ryan, you coming? We don't want to be late for the CCL class.
Oh, what's the use? They're going to take away our guns anyway.
Hey, what's up with the attitudes?
Well, haven't you been watching the news lately? NSA, Obamacare, gun laws. Whatever happened to the land of the free?
Sounds like you need to sign up for the Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Yeah? Why do you say that?
Well, the theme this year is Islands of Freedom. We have speakers coming from all around the U.S. to talk about real options our families still have that God provides for His children.
Where do I sign up?
At check.org. But you better hurry. The conference is coming June 12th to 14th.
That was check.org?
Yeah, C-H-E-C.org. So you ready? Come on, let's get going.
Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family, coming June 12th to 14th.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. James Dobson lashing out at the President of the United States, doing this respectfully, but saying, hey, President, Mr. President, come get me. I will not pay. I will not be subject to this regulation. I will not be an accomplice in the death of these children. I'm not paying for abortions. Now, this abortion mandate, this abortifacient abortion mandate on the Affordable Care Act is being appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. So far, the majority of those ministries who have asked for an exemption have gotten it, but it's being appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. And Bill Jack, we will know something of what the Supreme Court will do by June, I believe.
Yes, and Hobby Lobby is leading the charge on this. And
yes.
Hobby Lobby says we're not going to provide abortions for our employees because as a Christian business family, this is our business, and these are highly controversial issues in the culture. But for us, it's not controversial. We believe that abortion is wrong, and we're not going to pay for it. As a result, what's happened is the First Amendment, which all centers around the free speech of religious convictions into the culture, is under attack by the Affordable Care Act. This is not just a footnote. This is not just a clause in the Affordable Care Act. This is the Affordable Care Act, and that is that you will be subservient to the political agenda of the day.
Right. They are working very hard to destroy our freedoms.
So there's no Nathans who can stand up and say, thou art the man, as James Dobson did to President Obama, because that's the whole purpose, is to silence, to squelch religious speech. Maybe we need a piece of legislation at the federal level that says religious speech is equally protected with all other speech.
Well, that would be good. Seems like we have something like that in the Constitution of the United States, don't we?
Yes, but it's being ignored.
It sure is.
It's being undermined. Maybe we need to say religious speech is equally protected with all other speech.
Bill, they're working very hard to destroy the family, to destroy life. And you destroy life, you get a parent to kill their child. That is one of the most fundamental ways to destroy the family. It destroys life, but destroys the family, too. I guess my point is that these things are interconnected, that the bad guys go after faith, life, faith, family, freedom, all of it. And they have to go after all of it at the same time. They've got to destroy our freedom in order to destroy life. They've got to destroy life in order to destroy the family. And it is a full-court press for us. We need to engage this battle everywhere. Every single family that engages the political battle is important, but every single family that engages the battle for the family within their own family, that is, they're working the relationships within the family. They're working the striving to maintain strong marriages themselves. They're working within the church, and they're doing the council, and they're making it because they're moving ahead in faith, and they're willing to engage that battle for the life of the family. That really matters. I think it's a full-court press, Bill. I think it's at every point we need to fight for the life of the family. We need to fight for it in the church as well.
You know, you jokingly said, you know, I was Mr. Worldview, and that is not true. The guy who was Mr. Worldview, Francis Schaeffer, said that we see the world in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you're correct. We do concentrate on particular issues, and too often we forget that there's an underlying foundation upon which each of these issues rests, and that is the whole idea of secularism. Mm-hmm. Secularism is not neutral. It is hostile to a biblical worldview. It is the belief that there may or may not be a God, but even if there is, he's irrelevant in certain aspects of culture. And that is what we're trained to think. That's what Christians have been trained to think over the past two decades, three decades.
Yeah. And there's no standard for ethics.
Right.
No, if there's no God, certainly, then there is no certain basis for ethics.
Or even if there is a God, he's irrelevant
That's
when
right.
it comes to ethics
mm-hmm.
dealing with abortion.
Right, right.
Or ethics dealing with health care.
Or marriage or family.
Yes.
Or fill in the blank, right. Okay. Let's move ahead. And that's the basic issue. I think, yeah, if you go down to the concrete and the footers of this entire debate, the fact is the postmoderns have abandoned the possibility of absolutes.
Right.
It shows up in their culture, their music. It shows up in the way they think, the way they live. It's shot through the whole system. They've got to get a basic metanoeo or a repentance, change of mind and heart at that level, or all other bets are off. So, yeah, the battle is a worldview battle. Now, let's look at another manifestation of a breakdown of the family, a breakdown of a Christian worldview.
Sad story.
It's the breakdown of a family.
It's another family.
Yeah. Another family breaks out.
Has bitten the dust.
Yep. It turns out Gene Robinson, the first openly
Episcopal bishop. Bishop Gene Robinson, right.
Broke down. His family broke down. He got a divorce.
Yeah.
With the guy.
With his husband.
Married to. Yeah. Some call this gay mirage. Gay marriage.
Several years ago, I was in New Hampshire, and I visited. I was there for the state capitol, and right across the street is Gene Robinson's church.
No way.
Yeah.
So did you go in there?
No, there was a gate around it.
Oh, there was, so you couldn't climb over.
Well, I could, but it said heterosexuals beware.
Okay.
Isn't it odd that here we have a breakdown in our culture in several levels? In government, mm-hmm. government's job is sure. to further good and avenge evil. It's mm-hmm. to administer justice.
Sure.
And you have the third largest legislature in the world in New Hampshire. The third largest.
Oh, yes, right. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yet their laws are coming out distorted and perverted.
Mm-hmm.
And right across the street, right next door, is a symbol of the distortion and perversion and breakdown of the culture when you have a bishop who had just come out as being openly homosexual. And now, several years later, his family has broken down. Once again,
yeah.
he was married to a woman,
yeah. Yeah,
divorced her.
Yeah.
Married to a man.
Yep, divorced him.
Now divorced him.
Had a drunkenness issue.
Yep.
Okay, you know, this is an AP story. First openly gay Episcopal bishop, symbol of gay rights, deeply divided the world's Anglicans, plans to divorce his husband. Even that seems like, that's weird. You know, I'm thinking, it scares me, Ben, 20 years from now, we're going to be sitting here going, and so this guy married to this dog decided to divorce his dog.
Right, in favor of a cat.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
And then we're going to go, am I saying this? Am I reading this? The bishop endured death threats during his 2003 consecration. 2006 sought treatment for alcoholism. Is widely celebrated as a pioneer for gay rights. He was delivering the benediction at the opening 2009 inaugural event for President Barack Obama.
That's right.
After retirement, became a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Robinson, 66, had been married to a woman, had two children before he and his wife divorced. So, I'm reading this thing, I'm thinking to myself, wow, trying to follow this guy. Divorced from a woman, divorced from a man, had a drunkenness issue. I guess that qualifies you to be a bishop in the Anglican Communion. I guess that's what it takes.
Not exactly
what Paul would say.
No, in the Episcopal Church, I guess that you can make...
I guess so. I'm going to contrast with Paul for a moment. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 for a second. Okay, is that okay? Read the Bible.
Why do you have to do this?
Why
can't we all just get along?
I think that, you know, the Word of God, the Apostle Paul has more to say about this than Gene Robinson. That's it. That's all.
He's just speaking from his life experiences.
But you
can't invalidate his life experiences.
He was inspired by the Holy Spirit and in communion with Jesus for years. Okay, so here's the Apostle Paul.
But was Paul a bishop?
A bishop. Well, he's talking about a bishop, so, you know.
He's talking about the bishop.
Yeah, so I've heard Bishop Gene Robinson.
Okay.
Let's figure this out.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 3:2. A bishop, then, must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Let's just stop there for a moment.
The husband.
Of one wife.
One wife. Hmm. What does that mean, really? I mean... What does the word wife mean?
I'm saying the husband of one husband.
But what does the word wife mean? And what does the word husband mean?
What are you?
You're not going to get postmodern on me, are you?
I'm just asking for definitions here.
Well,
but
get your Webster's out.
Yeah, well, that's a little too stodgy.
Mm.
Okay, we live in a more fluid society.
Mm. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Sober.
Maybe they just mean not humorous.
Of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine.
W-H-I-N-E?
No, W-I-N-E.
Oh!
Yeah, Gene's not doing so hot.
No, he's kind of...
He's not doing well. Not on this list of qualifications.
Maybe we just need a different translation.
And I'm sure somebody's out there working on it. Somebody's got to be working on it. I'm sure Gene's got his staff working, getting a new translation. You know, at the point where...
You got to give kudos to Gene, because here's what he said. As you can imagine, this is a difficult time for us, he and his former husband. Not a decision entered into lightly or without much counseling. He sought counsel, except not from the Word of God.
I wonder where they got it.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe he got it from Barack Obama.
That's why, you know, the Bible says men are forever learning but never able to come to a knowledge of God.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like it. You know what we have here is a lack of integrity.
Why should we be surprised?
We have a basic lack of integrity here, Bill. It's a house built on the sand. And, this whole gay mirage thing has lasted 10 years. About 10 years. I'd give it maybe another 10.
If our culture survives.
Yeah.
Because the morass of the gay mirage, as you said,
is just not going to
last. Because you're right. I mean,
last. These things don't last.
Postmodernism rests on quicksand.
It's on quicksand, yes. There's nothing that's going to sustain. Okay, we're out of time, but I've got to say something here, Bill.
We were out of time.
I'm still going to say something. Yeah.
You are. I'm
going to say something. We're going to try to raise some funds for the Generations Radio broadcast. We do this every May. And we need to get 100 sponsors for this program to keep this thing on the air.
See, you're talking money now.
Yeah, I am. Filthy lucre. But it's all a voluntary thing. You know, I'm not going to be starving myself to death for the next month or anything like that.
Okay. You're not going to go up into a tower
starvation routine. Yeah. Okay. No. This is just simply saying, hey, if you like the program, you want to support what we're doing, just send a few bucks into the program. Just go to our website, generationsradio.com, and click on donation. Let me give you a little bit of statistics for Generations over the last 10 years.
What have we accomplished?
We've done several million downloads. We do about 750,000 a year right now. And we have moved about 6,000 apostates.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Moved them where?
We've moved 6,000 apostates. That's the book Apostate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about people.
No. Oh. We've moved about 6,000 copies of Apostate in the last year. It's been a great year.
Yeah,
it's been
that's a really good year for us.
113 countries downloading our stuff. We have encouraged, based on our stats, 43,692 people.
Really?
Yeah. We've offended 150,476,043 people. So we've offended a lot.
Okay.
We've offended a lot, though.
Can I get your accounting firm who did the...
We'll give you the whole routine, how we did the stats. Okay, we've been covered on 71 news stories so far this year. That's all I've been able to count. We were correct 146,543 times. We were wrong 43 times.
Wow.
Just kidding.
43.
Of course, that was me.
You
were
wrong.
I think you've been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been on very long.
No, you haven't. And here's another thing.
I'm offended, by the way.
You know,
we can add one more to the list.
We have also traveled to 4 countries in the last 8 weeks.
I've been to 4 counties in the last 8 weeks.
Yeah. Kind of a homebody type.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Also did the first Russian homeschool conference and Biblical Worldview Conference in St. Petersburg. That was so much fun. Oh, that was, I didn't know.
Yeah, okay. Wait. Russian and fun do not go together.
It was fun. It was great. I know.
A jolly Russian does not come to mind.
It doesn't. But you know what? Spirit-filled Russians have the joy of the Holy Spirit. They do exist.
Yes.
And we had a great time.
And they're distinct.
When you walk down the street, you can see them.
They
are. We had about 150 people show up, some 13, 14 pastors were at the conference, and it was personally rewarding for me to be carrying my little copy of What Does the Bible Say About That, translated into Russian. It's my treatise against Marx and the Communist Manifesto for nine-year-olds. And we took about 90 copies of that across the border and explained biblical roles of family, church, and state to 150 people. It felt really good. I was thinking Karl Marx is probably turning over in his gravy at this point.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think he's turning over. I think he's kind of roasting in his gravy.
All right. So it's been a good year. It's been a great year.
That is good.
What do you think?
That's encouraging.
I think we're going to keep
on. So add one more person to the encouraged side.
Okay.
And also to the offended side.
Yeah.
I'm not only encouraged, but I'm offended. Okay.
How are you offended, my friend?
I just in general
just
principle.
Okay. Good enough. All right. If you've been encouraged by this program or even offended.
Yeah. Please.
Please send in the support for the Generations Radio
to
broadcast.
Keep us on the air for another year. Broadcasting in 113. How many countries are there, by the way, in
the
world?
I don't know. I think there's 170. So we're in most countries around the world.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh?
I'm impressed.
Okay. So again, friends, if you'd like to contribute $10 a month, $20 a month, $100 a month, or if you would like to contribute your house to the fund, just simply go to our website and click on donate and be one of the 100 sponsors to keep us on the. That's not hard.
You're not asking for much.
Out of some 35,000 people who are encouraged by this program, and that's pretty accurate. I'm not sure about the offended part of it, but of the 40,000 people encouraged by the program, if we can find 100 people to say, yeah, I want to get behind it. I want to get Worldview out all around the world, and I appreciate what this program's been doing for our family. If that be the case, friends, donate today. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.